Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Kay Thompson Live Show. It's that time again on a Wednesday evening at the 8 o'clock hour at the Blog Talk Radio Network, at the very special place on the Blog Talk Radio Network, the Kay Thompson Live Show. I am the son, also known as Eric Payne, and you are a lady.
I am your mother, Kay Thompson, and welcome everyone to Kay Thompson Live. Boy, do we have a show for you tonight. We're going to be talking to Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant, everyone. You might remember Dr. Grant. She is a sex therapist. She is a writer. She is a certified sex counselor. She's dealt with relationships. She's a relationship expert. Her book is The Best Kind of Loving. Her television show, I think it was on Channel 4, we'll be talking to her about that as soon as we get through to her, or as soon as she gets through to us, and it seems to be it's going to be a very exciting show. We're going to be talking about relationships. We are also going to be talking about, what's the best kind of loving, and about problems that people have, and today's climate, in other words, how does all this upset in the world, you know, affect us emotionally, in all ways. So what can we do about it? So Eric, you've known Dr. Grant a long time also. So what do you think about that, about her?
Well, she's a very accomplished person, known her for a long time, like you said, and look forward to talking to her about those things and get her take from her professional perspective about some of the things that humans are doing now. What I want to do also, obviously, talk about the obvious current events, the news that's happening now. Trump to Puerto Rico, and he's gone to Puerto Rico, and he's also gone to Las Vegas, and to help the people in the aftermath of this gun. I'm sorry, a little distracted from it. To help the people in the aftermath of this another crazy gun killing from an individual who was obviously had problems, and brings to light the debate over gun control laws and the whole issue about guns. And do we have too many guns in America? I want to talk to Aunt Gwen about that as well. You know, the notion of the order of the day in terms, if you look around some of the talk shows and some of the news programs, people have been talking about, you know, the subject of gun control and the response from people who are anti-gun control is it's always too soon. It's too soon now to politicize, too soon now to talk about it. But, you know, that never made sense. That was always a kind of a kick the can and down the road argument. And the thing, it's always the right time to talk about a problem when it keeps happening. And the best time to talk about it is when it's fresh in everybody's mind, right when it happens. Why don't we have gun control, or why won't we even take some sort of steps or measures to try to address a problem that has occurred, obviously out of some liberties and things we have, but we need to try and address that. And so those are a number of the things. Before that, I mean, part of that also was yesterday Trump, before he went to Las Vegas, or tonight, before he went to Las Vegas today, he was in Puerto Rico, passing out, throwing out rolls of paper towels. And his whole, I guess we're kind of used to Donald Trump by now and his particular bedside manner when it comes to being a president. But, you know, it's just, he governs to me, he governs like he's a king. Huh. He governs like he's a king, and now he's going to have to be a politician or someone in, you know, a representative of the people, and is doing it from that perspective. Because the optic of this man throwing out paper towels to people as if he's at a basketball, at the Knick game or somewhere, he's throwing T-shirts out to his latest TV show or his newest restaurant opening. I mean, you know, just got to figure out how it looks, man. It's, you know, it's a disaster. And that's just one of the things.
No, it was worse than that. It was demeaning. You know, it was like him being the king and fall and throwing out, pieces to a crowd of people that he dominates. It's absolutely embarrassing, and it's sickening, as a matter of fact. So we really don't want to get too much in talking about Trump tonight, because the fact that the mere thought of that name, you know, makes me angry. And so we wanted to get to Dr. Grant, and we're waiting for her to call in, and she's going to be calling in about 5 after. And we're also waiting for our the rest of our team. Wayne Gilman is going to be calling in, and so is Dr. Wilbur Byron. Byron is going to be calling in. So.
Right. Okay. That's great. Get back to what we're talking about. You know, the whole thing with Trump and being in Puerto Rico, and it's just his whole manner. You know, he's kind of seems like he's treating Puerto Rico like George Bush treated New Orleans and after Katrina. And just in terms of the amount of time it took for him to really focus on that instead of getting on NFL players, and also as well as what it took for the people to get some help and to get there and talk about the budget, throwing our budget out of whack in the time of a natural disaster is really remarkable and shows you the kind of mentality the guy has. To do it, I mean, it really is, like I said, it's like he's a king or something, and everything is an inconvenience. And this is a natural disaster. Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States. It's part of the United States.
Right.
And, yeah, these are American citizens, and it's not like an island that's not a part of our country. And to act like, you know, they're a burden somehow, or that this disaster is not as great as Katrina's, nobody wants to hear history at a time like that when you're in the midst of it. I mean, it's an interesting point, you know. The history of Katrina's was much worse, but that's history now. And hopefully, since you're bringing it up, maybe you can learn from history, stop talking to people, and start getting the help in there. Obviously, he didn't learn from Katrina, because he let 9 days slide by before he got people in there to help the people out. So it's just hold on a sec. It's just a matter of being a leader or something, and to get there and to criticize the people in a kind of backhanded manner and say, you know, that the governor didn't said nice things about me. You know, it's just an ongoing thing with Donald Trump.
He has insulted the governor. You know, the mayor. Is that the mayor?
Not the governor.
Anyway, he has insulted her terribly. And how dare he do that? You know, he wouldn't do that probably with any other country, but he did it with a
state. It's a part of the United States.
I know that. And they're American citizens.
Right.
And there's this thing of racism around his head,
right,
also. You know, you don't meet with, you know, the White Citizens Council and involve them, embrace them, and not embrace fellow Americans, but they just happen to be other colors.
Right, right. It certainly colors, pardon the pun, the way he responds to certain people, right? It certainly colors his perspective about the way he treats people. Even one of his Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, is getting kind of tired of him, calling him a moron. I heard the comment was an effing moron.
Really?
Yeah, it was
Trump earlier. Called him a moron? Or
Rex Tillerson called Donald Trump.
Whoa.
And it has been revealed in the news. Yes, he does know. It's been revealed in the news that at a meeting with other, obviously, people around, that Rex Tillerson called him a moron, an effing moron, actually. And it's also been revealed in the latest news reports that on more than one occasion that Tillerson and Trump have clashed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always had the thought about Rex Tillerson that from watching him work and operate, that he at least seems like he's trying to approach this job of Secretary of State with a certain amount of measure. And, you know, at times when you wanted Trump to talk tough about Russia, Tillerson was doing that, and he seems to be the one that's trying to tamp down the temperature between the trash-talking between Trump and North Korea. And Tillerson seems like he's, even though he's coming from the corporate side, he probably has, we know he's got his own agenda, but it seems as though he's approaching this position as a professional CEO type of executive who wants to run an efficient agency, an efficient government. And it seems as though he's taking on the mantle of working in the government as opposed to being a CEO now and working for himself. So he seems like he wants to do that and really rise to the occasion for a minute. I see that.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We'll get to it in a second. So Rex Tillerson seems like he wants to at least have the mentality to try to rise, like I said, rise to the occasion. But Trump's mentality is something somewhat different. I'd like to get on Gwen here, Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant, to give us Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant to give us a perspective or her perspective about, you know, Trump's psyche, because it is definitely kind of a narcissistic, kind of all concerned about himself psyche. I'm Gwen. Are you there, Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant?
Yes,
how are you tonight?
I am here. Yes, very interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so important to talk about our relationships and our relationships with our president, just as important as our relationships with each other. And one
right.
of the things I see very clearly is self-focused people do not communicate. All they do is make statements. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how
right.
our president is behaving. You know? He doesn't communicate. He just makes statements because the world is about what he thinks. And therefore, that's the way he presents himself. So they did a documentary on him as a youth, and his parents were trying to help him to stay away from being so self-focused that he could focus on other people. And according to this documentary, I forget what channel it was on, they never succeeded.
Really?
His parents tried to get away from being self-focused. And they never succeeded in that. Because everything was about him, that he was better ball player, he was a better this, he was a better that. And he's still self-focused. It has nothing to do, and that's why he became president, because he wanted to present himself to a wider world, and that's what he's doing. And we're in the throes of him presenting himself to the world. And the self we
yeah.
see is not presentable.
You know, he's been in the process of putting the United States in a dangerous position. You know, with
yes.
this kind of racism. It's absolutely racism. And to go to Puerto Rico and treat the mayor or governor, the mayor of Puerto Rico, in the way that he has, you know. Well, I don't know what
yes.
he expected. Did he expect her to bow down and kiss his knees or his feet or something? You know, that was disgusting.
Keep telling you who they are.
Yeah.
You should end
yeah.
up believing them. Because during the campaign,
mm-hmm.
he said he wanted to take the country back.
Yeah.
And he is taking the country way back.
Way back, right.
Post civil rights back, okay?
Yes.
And that's exactly
yes.
what he's doing. One psychologist said that, and I'm repeating it. He said, if a person keeps telling you who they are, you should believe them.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he's telling
right.
us every day who he is.
Okay.
And
what
now, Gwen,
Dr. Grant,
mm-hmm.
wait a minute. We're going to welcome in, I think this is Wayne Gilman, our other partner here. I'm Kay Thompson Live.
Hi, good
so
evening,
Wayne.
Kay and Dr. Grant. It's been a long time.
Yes.
How's everyone?
Good evening.
Yeah, I was just listening to your comments, and I concur 1,000%. I think it's unfortunate that every day there's a completely different news cycle, and what happened in Las Vegas. I was just on the phone with my sister a moment ago, and it's one of the reasons why I was late. You know, she's in the military, and when you see some of the carnage that has occurred as a result of this attack, you know, she said that they don't even use that kind of weaponry to practice, you know, to prepare for war. You know, the only time you use the automatic clip is if you're in combat. And you want to know, what is this guy talking about? And with respect, when you juxtapose the president's comments before the people in Las Vegas compared to how he acted in Puerto Rico, I just think it's shameful. This man lacks social graces, you know, to be throwing Charmin paper towels at a crowd saying that you're helping people, you know, to compare Puerto Rico with the number of people who lost their lives in that tragic storm to Katrina, like, you know, because there were thousands of deaths. And again, we might have to cite for the record a Republican administration, an organization that was underfunded at the time Katrina occurred, you know. And just to make that comparison, you should be glad that you're busting our budget, that, as he said. I can't quote him verbatim. You know, just little sophomoric nonsense like that I just find despicable. You know, it's amazing that no one is taking a gun. And I'm not advocating this. This is just out of what I see in sheer frustration. You know, the fact that he represents us around the world.
Yes.
It's shameful.
Well, yeah. You know, Wayne, how you doing? This is Eric.
All right, Eric.
Also, too, I just wonder, you know, it seems that our society now is, and there have been reports saying that we're a more callous, no more rude society, that certainly the feelings of racial prejudice and racism, people are feeling a lot more comfortable to say these politically incorrect things just to be insulting of other people in different cultures. And that's obviously coming down from the top and from the person that is supposed to be the standard bearer in the country, wouldn't you say, on Gwen, in terms of the psyche of how Americans, you know, they say the thing about presidents also, they kind of set the moral tone as well as the political
tone.
So when you have
a
moral tone and kind of a mentality that's being set, isn't that kind of reflective of the rest of the country, on Glenn?
Yeah. I think it's so important to understand that our society has lost its, what should I say, its core value. Liberty and justice almost don't exist anymore, and we're like pre-civil rights, you know. It feels like we're still there.
I'm sorry, Doctor. This is Wayne Gilman again. I just believe it's because of the atmosphere this man has generated.
Yes.
I don't know if you recall a number of years ago, the head of the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan, the Honorable Minister, took ownership for cultivating an environment that led to the murder of Malcolm X. This man, when you juxtapose that with Donald Trump, who refuses to take ownership for having cultivated the environment that has spawned this level of racism and polarization, not just, you know, between blacks and whites, but everybody, and the international discord that comes with it. And he feels that he could rise above it because of his narcissistic ways, and that's supposed to be okay. I still think there's justice out there, you know, and I think that, you know, there are a lot of people who have been misled by his buffoonery, but it's just a matter of time before it catches up with him. I don't want to believe that we're going back to the days of Jim Crow. You know, I don't want to believe that we have to ride in the back of the bus, and I would like to think slavery is over, you know. But, I mean, there's enough out there that they could do by turning the clock back with the Attorney General appointments across the country with different things that they're saying. This whole gun control thing, everybody, all the NRA people are sitting quiet waiting for the debate to start, and they come up with the same pat answer every time something like this occurs. This is not the time to discuss it. Well, when is the time to discuss it?
Right.
How many more people must die, you know, to discuss that?
If nothing was said, when a group of children in a classroom, 5 and 6 years old, were murdered, and that didn't move the country, well, I don't know what's going to move the country. That happened in Connecticut just a few years ago. So
I agree.
I have no idea what's
going to
move the country.
I agree.
Yes, it starts from the top down. We have a caller. Caller, do you want to add and what you want to say? 201-837. Do you want to join the discussion or you just want to listen? You're welcome to do either or if you want to make a comment about what we're currently talking about.
I'm listening.
Okay. Well, I'll just help close your mic then. But yeah, the other aspect of this whole thing, the whole kind of mentality and where we are in terms of the kind of gruffness of our country now, even with the psyche of an individual that wants to go in and shoot thousands of people. You know, they said this guy did a trial when he went to a hotel and was overlooking a concert and you know. Or if it wasn't a trial run, that's maybe where he got his attitude. But, you know, a lot of these people are, you know, have that kind of psyche where they just want to go in and take out a bunch of people. Yeah. You want to say, Mom?
Yeah. You're bringing up a very good example of what I build relationships on. You know, I wrote for Essence Magazine for 25 years, and I tried to structure how we build relationships. And we build relationships first three ways. You develop a friendship first, and then you become lovers, possibly. And then the third thing you do is always create an honest environment for exchange and to talk. Now let's take the shooter and his partner, Mary Lou. Is that her name, Mary Lou? She seems to know nothing about the shooter. And she's been in a relationship with him for over 3 years. Now, this is an example of how we form relationships, but we really are not having a relationship. We're just having a walkthrough. If you are living with someone and you don't know what they think, how they think, what they are sharing with you, you're not having a relationship. You're having a walkthrough.
Right.
And if you're not having an intimate relationships where you have a friendship and you have love in there and some honesty in there, you're not having anything except you're sleeping with the enemy.
Dr. Grant is someone who's gone through several walkthroughs in his life. I just have to say, I think that lady's, the guy's mistress or whoever she was to him,
but,
you know, is lying. You cannot plan what this man planned.
Say it again.
You cannot plan what this man planned, you know, to kill so many people.
That's right.
Without having some intimacy to know or having some knowledge of what went on there.
Some indication. Because a person who's that focused and that well-planned cannot keep it to themselves. That much I know as a psychologist.
And now, also, I'd like to redirect this into another direction, Gwen. I don't care about Trump, okay? And that unfortunate incident, mass killing in where was it? Down in where?
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas is not the issue for us tonight. I want to talk about you. I want to talk about the best kind of loving, your book. I want to talk about relationships. So we haven't talked about
that. That exactly leads into my book because that's exactly what I was talking about, how to form relationships that are healthy. And evidently, this was not a healthy relationship because you have to have a friendship first before you become lovers. In this country, we become lovers first. And we think that, in other words, we get in each other's bed before we get in each other's heads, okay? And I think the only way to form a healthy relationship is to get in the head first. My mother used to tell me, when you get on your back too soon, you lose your head. Okay?
That's what's going on with me,
Absolutely.
That's been my problem.
Yes, absolutely. And you have to form this friendship with the person with whom you say you have these feelings of love for. You form a friendship first because
Is that friendship?
Friendship is
you
the
know?
Most. Say that again.
How long is the friendship, honestly?
I think it has something to do with the conversation, okay? Friendships are formulated through conversation. And we are taught through the media that the conversation, getting inside of somebody's body is more important than the conversation. I say it is not, okay? Intimacy has nothing to do with an erect penis and a pulsating vagina. Intimacy has inviting someone into the deepest, most sacred parts of yourself and sharing that verbally with that person. That's why I say this man who did all the shooting in Las Vegas and this woman who was his partner did not have that kind of relationship. They did, it was momentary and passing and fleeting. They weren't having a relationship. They were having a walkthrough. But I'm very firm on this. There is no way a person could be that intense to kill that many people and to injure that many people and not share some of that at some time in some kind of outrage. There's no way. Because
exactly.
he was too prepared and too self-contained, okay?
Right.
And I think it's so important to understand that relationships, I believe that relationships must have intimacy, which has nothing to do with sexuality. Intimacy is to be honest and to share your intimate part of yourself with your partner. Otherwise, you're just having a walkthrough.
Dr. Green, I was just curious, as you mentioned all this, it's just out of my own curiosity. What is your take on people who, I have a friend that's always going back into the same old woodpile again as opposed to trying to find someone new, trying to correct a situation. I mean, is there something wrong with that person?
They keep ending up with the same person?
Yeah, they want to go back, is there something wrong with the person because they want to go back and try to see if they can renew something with somebody that they had been with what does that mean?
They're trying to go back and do a correction? Is that what you mean?
Well, it's just that, I just wish that friend was here to speak for himself, but I'm just trying to extract myself out of this. What I'm saying is that, you could have a relationship with someone and then maybe it died for whatever reasons and you want to renew it. Is there something wrong in wanting to renew something, or you should just, once it's dead and you just keep it moving
One of the things, the more I learn about you, the more I find out about myself. Okay? And that's why people don't succeed in relationships, because they're not learning anything about themselves through the relationship. And they always ask me, in essence, over and over, the women always ask me, why do I keep selecting the same man, making the same mistakes over and over again? And I have a simple answer for them. You want to hear the answer?
What?
Because you're the same woman. Has nothing to do with him. Say it again?
You want to think that someone grows, over a period of time. I have another friend of mine has this expression, some people grow up and some people just grow old. In other words, they never change. I'm just out of curiosity. Because sometimes I can't wrap my head around why, this happens. And, you know that there's a possibility with this person. You know the person deep down inside. You just have this feeling that they want to renew something, but they just can't bring themselves past some past hurt that might have occurred. And it could have been my fault. I mean, it could have been the guy's fault, But...
That's okay.
What were you going to really say, Kay?
I said, that's okay.
Maybe I'm not asking this the right way, and I think my Catholic values
are
getting
I hear
way.
You. I hear. But it has something to do with, on page 185 of my book, 185.
I got to get the book.
something called correct marketing strategy.
Kind of
how you market yourself determines what kind of person you will attract to yourself. If you're too needy, you may attract an abuser. If you're too helpless, you may attract, for example, in a woman, you may attract a bossy big daddy. If you're too desperate, you may attract a temporary brother who'll give you plenty of sex and withhold intimacy, and he'll be temporary.
All
right.
What about someone who's looked upon like a giant ATM machine? You know, it's like they just want to take advantage of what they perceive might be.
But, you know, it has something to do with how we market ourselves to people. They're not just coming on to us cold. They're coming on to us behind this marketing strategy that we don't know that we're marketing, okay? And I keep telling women this over and over again. The only reason he's a temporary brother is because you're a desperate sister and he knows it. He's giving you what you need temporarily. He thinks you need sex, so he'll give you that. But he'll withhold intimacy. He'll withhold sharing his true self with you. And it ends up the same kind of relationship. Why? Because you keep marketing the same product.
Exactly. Yeah.
And this is very, I'm so glad we got on this subject, because this is a very complicated subject. And being at Essence 25 years, trying to get through this subject matter, and I keep hearing the same stories over and over again. I found the keys, and there are only three keys to open the door to healthy relationships. I'm going to say it over and over again. Key number one is to develop a friendship first between a man and a woman. And, you know, your friendship may outlast your romance.
Mm-hmm.
And your romance may grow through your friendship.
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't think that men and women can be friends and not be intimate. I have seen people become friends, and 20 years later or 15 years later, they marry each other because they have such a strong bond that they didn't know they had. Because they were strong friends. And I keep telling you, if you're not being intimate with your friend, you are sleeping with the enemy. Okay?
What about friends with benefits?
Go
ahead.
People, guys and women can't be friends without eventually being lovers?
But that's another thing. People, you can be friends and not be lovers. As a matter of fact, that's a very good exercise that I actually recommend in the book, okay? Learn how to be friends with the opposite sex. It's very delightful, you know, okay? Be really, and sharing your real self with that friend, you learn a lot about yourself when you share that part of yourself with a friend and you're not having sex with the friend, okay? It can be very, very self-revealing, okay? Because you don't have all these traps laid out for you through intimate sexual behavior. You know, sexuality can be very conflictual, okay? Because you're basing it on something that is very, what shall I say, acutely responsive. You see a beautiful shape, a nice body, and you got an erection, okay? And you think you have to act on it. No, you don't, okay? That's what is called a dynamic human brain response to a visual, okay? And I keep telling men over and over, an erection is not an emergency. Okay, you don't have to do anything about it. And I recommend becoming friends. I recommend.
Do they know that?
You know, at my age, Dr. Grant, you know,
right.
it's you know, with not, I don't know how many more erections I could count on.
You're
so
really,
you know, if there's an opportunity, sometimes you have to strike while the iron is hot.
And that's what most men think. Listen, let me tell you what intimacy is. It's sharing the deepest, most sacred part of yourself. And if people would discover that, they would find that his has a high approval rate inside of yourself, just as high as an orgasm.
You know, and I've tried that, but sometimes it just doesn't seem. I don't know. I have this anesthesiologist I know, and let me. I'm not going to call her name because God knows if I ever were that sick and she had to be over me, I would want to die first before. You know, and she's been on my case, wanting to get together, but she does not know the whole concept of friendship. She just wants to be critical, and as you mentioned these things. You know, she criticized this. She doesn't like the people that I interact with because they may be from a different ethnic group. Or, you know, why do you live up there? Why can't you be in Midtown Manhattan with me? Yada, yada, yada. Why do you like old cars and old people? And, you know, this is what I like, what I like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I go through this barrage of phone calls to the point where I just tell her, lose my number, you know? It's... I don't understand that. And this is an intelligent woman who happens to work for a prestigious hospital. So that just goes to show that no matter how much education and you're in the hands of, I mean, somebody's in your hands every day in a life-death situation. You know, I don't want her fired, but sometimes she drives me so angry. I want to pick up the phone and call the hospital to say, you got somebody like this treating people on a daily basis.
My word, that's very, very revealing.
It is. I'm sorry, just that you got me started now.
No, very good. and you know, you need to express these things because really we're having a very intimate conversation here.
Yeah, and I'm afraid I get like that sometimes.
Yeah, but you need to get like that more with somebody really at a friendship level. And that will be very productive for you because the more you do that with another person, the more you begin to learn about yourself. And the more we learn about ourselves through our intimate relationships with people of the opposite sex, the more we can give an account of ourselves in a better place. And I worry about people in the United States of America because I don't think most of us like ourselves or love ourselves the way we should. Some of us are narcissistic, and that's a pitiful state of mind. But I'm talking about really loving the person you see in that mirror, you know? And really, and ask yourself, do I really love this person? Because most of our strains and failures in relationships has to do with initially how we love or don't love ourselves. And I would like your listening audience to ask themselves that question tonight in the mirror. Look in the mirror, listeners, and finally ask yourself, are you in love, deeply in love, with this person in the mirror? Because from that state of mind goes your whole life forever. Because without that intimate environment inside of your head about yourself, everything about your relationship is going to be full of fault, up, down, and zero. Because the woman in the mirror, the man in the mirror, is the man you should be loving from Jump Street and forever.
Mm-hmm.
So most people
point taken.
Most people think loving themselves is being, what is that word? Being too self-possessed. But I believe it is the core element of your whole being for the rest of your life. How are you going to be going to sleep and waking up and not loving this person you're with 24/7? How is that? And I used to say to women all the time, you are the wonderful person you've been looking for. And if you haven't found her, you'll never find him. Hello? And that,
boy,
and that
we have a lot of work to do.
Please. And this intimacy, this love affair that one has with herself or himself, it is not self-possession. It is not eliminating other people. It is bringing everybody else into this beautiful place where you found your own self to love.
And
once you do that, all your relationships from then on are going to be bound to that self-love inside of you. But if you don't have it, somehow your relationships, I don't care where they are and what they are, they're all going to be having a flaw in it, because the flaw first started with you not loving yourself.
Now, is the book still
available? I didn't mean to preach to your audience, but
okay.
I can't keep this to myself.
Please.
Dr. Grant, is the
book
still available, Best Kind of Loving?
Right on Amazon, every day of the week.
That Kind of Loving is called?
So the best, okay, the best kind of loving. And at the end
of
the book,
kind of
the best kind of, let me read something to you at the end of the book, and it's really very important, because it's a question we all ask ourselves. And at the end of the book, I said, let me ask, the next time someone asks you what you want from life, you tell them the best. Even if you are not at the top of your game now, that doesn't mean you want less than the best for the future.
Right.
You may not be in charge of all of your circumstances all the time, but you are in charge of your thinking and goal setting. So this is what you do. Think best, talk best, aim for the best, expect the best, and never settle for anything less. You deserve it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we can still get the book, The Best Kind of Loving, on
The Best Kind
Amazon?
Of Loving. Amazon.
Okay.
Amazon.
Okay.
It's innocent. Right. It's a great teacher. And stop believing in that old black magic. I'm going to close with this. What
the
is
the old
black
magic?
It's called falling in love. You do not fall in love, ladies and gentlemen. Love comes from inside of you. Love is not a fall. Okay.
I have a question
fact.
To ask, but I'm just so afraid to bring. I have a neighbor, right? You know, maybe I should ask this off air, because you never know who's listening. He has a wife, but you know, I'll have to get
Are
the number
sure?
from Kay.
Okay.
I'll try. Maybe you could. You do have private consultations?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps I could.
I'm a snowbird.
Oh, okay. So you only work part of the year, or?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm a snowbird. I run away from cold weather.
I don't blame you.
But what I'm teaching here is this thing we all are seeking is inside of us. Love is inside of you.
Yeah.
Waiting for release, waiting for an exit, waiting for your intimacy inside of you to be shared with someone.
I know.
Yeah. And don't believe in. Let me read about old black magic. This old black magic called falling in love. I quoted a young woman who was a professor at Essex County College. She wrote a poem. She said in this poem, and it's so wonderful, I said in the book that stop believing in this old black magic. It was magic when your. It was. Where is that? I've got to find it. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep talking until I find this poem. This is so important that I read this to you. Are you still there?
Yeah,
yes,
I
still
am.
Here.
Okay.
I'm
keep talking and asking me questions until I find this wonderful poem.
Well, Kay, I'm so glad that you invited Dr. Grant, because I'm finding out more about myself this hour than I had in some time, you know. But, you know, I don't want to personalize the show.
You don't. You did.
That's correct.
You know,
that's
I have so many questions to ask, you know. I'm just.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Listen to this poem first by Daphne Binyard, Haygood Binyard. She was a professor. She died. And I put her poem in my book. Don't be so quick to believe in that old black magic about falling in love. It was magic the way your love captured my heart, snatched me up in a whimsical trance. Didn't realize that this was only an act in one of your short stories. Hello? And that's what we've got to be very careful of, that this love that we're falling into is not a, really not an act that we created, okay? Because love is not an act. Love is a fact. It's real, and it dwells inside of us. We have not given it birth. That's why we can't release it and keep running into blank wall. Hello?
I hear you.
Okay. Gwen, Dr. Grant, it's been wonderful.
Yes. I enjoyed it. I loved your company.
Right.
Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Grant, do you happen to have a public number or something? You know.
Not that I'm going to give out.
So we have to get the book.
Do you have a website?
Please get the book, The Best Kind of Loving, on Amazon. And thank you, Kay, for inviting me.
That's okay. Listen, do you have a website?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What's that?
I forgot that.
Uh-huh. Mm. Well, call, if you
MAW,
we just Google that, or
how can we reach? Somebody wants to reach you on Gwen. How can they reach you? The Facebook. If people wanted to ask questions.
Facebook.
Or have,
I'm ready to give it to you now. Mawpaw is MAWPAWNJ at MSN.com.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm. I repeat that.
And that is your
Mawpaw, MAWPAWNJ as in New Jersey, at MSN.com.
All right.
Okay.
Nice talking to all of you. It was exciting.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you for inviting me, Kay.
Thanks.
And you know I love you, Eric.
I love you too, Aunt Gwen. Take care.
Okay,
thank you very much. That was Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby giving her her fantastic insight and sharing her knowledge with us about relationships and even the relationship towards people. I wanted to get to how forming those relationships with society, with yourselves, can help people to relate to society and how it affects, you know, we got into a little bit, but I wanted to get into it more, how that affects, you know, people feeling disenfranchised and disconnected. That might cause one to take the actions of this shooter in Las Vegas to decide so many lives. that's something that we wonder about all the time, and that's the questions that they seem to people be trying to want to try to find the answers to, the answer of why. Why does something like this happen, and why does it continue to happen on somewhat an ongoing basis in our country? And the why being connected with the how are they able to achieve that objective there are those in society that wanted to say that there's a disconnect somehow between the amount of guns that are available and to us. We have heard reports that say that there are some 320 million guns in America. There's only 300 million people in America. So why do we have too many guns? And having this discussion earlier today with some people, and you know, and one of the notions was, you know, people like to collect guns like they might collect cars or any other type of things. The only difference between things that you might want to collect and guns or weapons being those particular choices of collectible items is that guns, the very reason guns have been invented is because of for destruction. Guns are elements of destruction, to either kill or defend or hunt. And the romanticized version of the gun culture in America, give me my gun and I'll go out and conquer the West, or I'll discover this land and I'll slay these savages. You know, that's a whole romantic notion that America seems to have made up about ourselves. And I wonder if it's not based a little bit in some a kind of imperialism or some sort of supremacy. And if you look at a lot of our old movies and TV shows and you know, the old Westerns about how the settlers just minding their business and wanting peace in a little plot of land all their own always had to fight off the savage Indians. And come to find out that, you know, that perspective was from the perspective of the one telling the story. And the Indians in real life weren't always the savages. And the Indians weren't always the ones just wanting to kill people just because they hated their way of life. And where have you heard that before, right, Wayne?
Right,
people
right.
saying they hate us for a way of life. They hate us because we're free. No, no, people don't hate you because you're free. People might have a tendency to start doing that, but they can, if it's a generational hate, they're probably going to hate you because you keep messing with them. And,
yeah.
you know, all of these issues come out, and, you know, the hate is for our freedom, and you should be proud of the country you live in, and it gives you the right to protest. You know, all of these kind of condescending, kind of supremacist perspectives about the world are really interesting. And they put us in these positions throughout the world, and we end up getting a guy like Trump, and who's supported by a lot of people that are concerned about a dying culture or a way of life that they knew that is changing. And maybe it's changing for the better if it means more of an equal participation from all residents of that society. I don't know. What do you think, Wayne?
No, I happen to agree with you, Eric. It's funny. I had an interesting experience yesterday. I live near City Island, which is like a little New England hamlet. It's an island off the Bronx. It belongs to the Bronx. But a lot of people from Westchester, I and New Rochelle go there. And when I'm in the Bronx, I go there, you know, to eat. And I was on City Island Avenue, the main drag, and there was somebody on a soapbox in front of the post office, anyone who's familiar with the area yesterday, standing with a megahorn surrounded by police. And some people were either for or against this person, but the deal is that he had this placard saying, "We must defend Trump. Russiagate is a lie." Everything is a lie. When the news cycle is unfavorable to Trump, it all of a sudden it becomes fake news. And I'm just saying to myself, you know, it's interesting that you would pick the middle of the day at a time when most minorities who go to City Island for seafood dinners and things like that are not around. I mean, when I say minorities, people of color, I shouldn't even say that. You know, there's a preponderance of Puerto Ricans and Dominicans and blacks who patronize a lot of the restaurants along City Island Avenue on a Friday night, Saturday night, even during the week in the summer. You can barely get into some of these places. But this guy chose the middle of the day to stage this. It looked like a show. I mean, I stood there in amazement. I had to stop my car for a minute, and I looked at him, and he looked back at me like as if I had four heads on my shoulders. And I wanted so badly to go outside the car and engage in some debate about why I think he's wrong about his support. But then again, I didn't want to get involved in anything that would have me locked up, you know, because it would look like as if I was trying to be the person to menace. But there's so many people who you know, have this latent feeling about supporting him, even though that his social graces are off the charts. I mean, that he lacks so much, you know, that he is stirring up the debate in which people are polarized. And I don't want to think that everybody feels that way. I mean, somebody sent me an email the other day, someone I used to work with at BLS, and it was attached to it was this Florida newsman. In fact, I meant to send it to Kay this morning, how he did this debate about the NFL players protesting, and he was in favor of freedom of speech. You know, he came out and said something that periodically Chris Rock says on occasion whenever he's performing. He says he's wealthy, he's famous, he's this, he's that, but he can't think of one white man who would want to trade places with him because he's black. And he's, you know, And it's amazing.
And the quote was, and Chris Rock said, "And I'm rich."
You know, yeah, right. Exactly. Really, yeah.
So
I
clip as well.
Did you see the piece? Because I meant to email it, and I can't seem to put my fingers on it now, but I will.
Yeah.
You know, but
name is Hansen. His last name is Hansen.
Right. He's a Florida broadcaster. I don't know him, but you know.
Right.
I mean, it spoke volumes.
Exactly. And this guy was a veteran as well. And he felt, you know, as do a lot of veterans, that's what he fought for people to express their right to protest. I also have a perspective. You know, you hear a lot of people saying you should be thankful that you have a country that you can make all this money in or that you can protest. And that notion, you should be thankful. We're thankful. The people who protest are thankful. But don't get it twisted. The people who are protesting are members of society, are taxpayers, are people who go to work every day. Not all the people are sitting at home protesting around welfare. And I think that argument is an argument that has extended over years when, you know, I guess there was an image or a stereotype of black people just being lazy on welfare and collecting, living off the fat of the government. And that whole notion, you should be thankful that you live in a country like this. Yeah, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that my ancestors busted their ass to build this country.
Right.
And you people should be thankful that they did it for free. And to suggest that people should be thankful as if they have no right and no hand in building what is our society. You know, when you decide you want to make improvements on your house or you want to make improvements in a club or a community that you're involved in, that's because you're a member of the community. That's because you're you're contributing to something. And when you contribute to something, you don't have to be thankful that you're there. You don't have to be thankful that you live in a place where you can change the things that you've contributed to. And it's almost such a condescending thing, as if the people that are protesting or have an issue are not contributing to the whole. And to be thankful for just these other people that are going out there and these vets are fighting for your right to be a spoiled football player. But what about their rights? What about the rights of growing up in a country where their parents were supported and did the best they can, as if they didn't earn that right to stand there and talk about the things that they think are wrong in the country that
they
support and live?
Right.
So this whole notion that idiots want to talk about, you should be thankful, is nothing but a condescending, racist perspective, telling people they should be thankful for something.
Exactly.
I'm thankful that I have a family and that I come from the people who worked hard and contributed to this country. That's what I'm thankful for. And as a matter of fact, you all better be thankful too.
That's true. The only person I heard recently popping that nonsense is Newt Gingrich. You know,
that's one of the running arguments. You should be thankful, even amongst rank and file people. Thankful that I'm over here busting my butt. Yeah, you should be thankful too. We should all be thankful. Because like Warren said, the average taxpayer on the street is the one who pays for the roads that the rich people send their goods and services across, that they're able to deliver their product. So we're up on 90 seconds, but those are a couple of the things that are on my mind, and it just incenses me when we have these people talking about wanting somebody to be thankful as if they're giving anybody something.
Yeah.
You know, so,
the only thing I want to say in response to that and reaction, because in a few minutes that we have remaining, is that CBS did really a disgusting move yesterday. They fired one of their top execs. I think the last name was Goldsby, if I'm not mistaken. And this woman did a tweet where she basically served notice on the Republican Party and the NRA, holding them accountable and saying that she had no feelings about what happened in Las Vegas, because every time they bring this subject up, whenever there's violence like this, even with members of Congress, the Republican Party, you know, they stand lockstep in their beliefs that that's not an issue. And I'm surprised that the network would actually take that action.
Well, I mean, I can see them. If she says she had no feelings about people getting killed, that's probably the leg they're able to stand on. We got to go with Wayne. 20 seconds left.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wayne Gilman, Oracle.
Thank you, Eric.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks. Talk to you next week. Thank you, caller, listener. We appreciate it. Well, thank everybody for listening to the K Thompson Live Blog Talk Radio Network. We'll be back next week, 8 to 9 p.m. on a Wednesday. Well, the show is always archived, so you can listen anytime you want. I'm Eric Payne.
I'm Kay Thompson for Kay Thompson Live. Join us next Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m.